So it's the second Sunday in Advent, y'all. How about that? Second Sunday in Advent. We are preparing the way of the Lord. We are looking for the birth of the Messiah, the one who will come and crush the spear and the sword again, the one who will crush the rod and the tyrant be removed. And so I invite you to pray with me before we go into the sermon. Holy God, you are the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way that we can approach you apart from your holiness, Lord, empowering us to do so. And so it is your Spirit that has fallen upon us through Jesus that enables us to move near you and love you more fully and seek you more clearly, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would anoint, as it has already, this service, that we may worship you, that this may be a time when you are glorified, Lord, and in that we are changed. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable and glorifying to you, for you alone are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're preaching a sermon series this Advent, and I did pull during the service. I went around on the sides because there are a lot of these bookmarks there if you can't find them in your pews, but it has kind of the events of the season. They're back here on the baptismal font. I laid a bunch there if you want to pick them up, or they're in the sides of the pews or in front of you. But the first Sunday was last Sunday. First Sunday of Advent was look again, watch. And today, the sermon series focuses on look again, prepare. Look again, prepare. And the idea is that the Christmas story is one that we do know, and we know in our hearts, most of us, very well, and yet we are called to look again and to allow God to speak to us again about what it means to look for the coming of the Messiah, to seek his face anew, and to look again as we prepare. Now, I'm going to start by saying I have a confession to make with you, and that is that all these years, I have again and again, even though I know that it's not right, again and again, I see preparing as equivalent to doing more. I see preparing as equivalent to doing more. This is the story of our great American culture, and I love America for sure. But we know that the ways of God are not our ways. And we know that sometimes, so often, we are sure of what something means, and the Spirit of God nudges us and asks us to look again, to understand something differently through His Spirit and see something in a new way, to look again at what does it mean to prepare the way of the Lord. Does it really mean to do more? Does it mean to strive more, to get it right, to get it better? That's what our culture would tell us. And I guess that thought has served us well in a lot of ways, in other ways in our culture. But when it comes to preparing the way for the Messiah, what if what we think is preparation is actually nothing more than distraction? What if what we think is preparing the way for Jesus is really diverting our eyes away from the one true thing? What if preparing is really distracting us from seeking the face of the Lord and abiding in His presence. I confess that I, among many, have long, even though I know it's not true, have long thought to prepare, for God means to do more, to strive more, to get it right more. But friends, the world is about to turn, as the song of preparation sang for us after the scripture, or before the scripture of Isaiah. The world is about to turn with the birth of Jesus. Everything is made new in Him, and our understanding of what it means to prepare is changed and challenged by the gospel of Jesus. What if preparation is really a way of distracting us from the one true thing? What if to prepare the way really means living in the way? What if to prepare the way for the Lord really means living in the way, with a capital W, living in the way? And that means that we live in relationship with God day to day, purposefully, thoughtfully, intentionally, and even genuinely, where we say to God, God, I don't have anything really to say to you today because I'm really tired. And by the way, there has been a tragedy in my family that has left us all without words. Or what if to be genuinely present to Jesus means to just say to Him, God, I don't know how to seek You, but I want to know how to seek You. What if preparing the way means simply living in the way of Jesus? What if preparing the way means that we are distracted by the many things that need to be done, but there is only one thing that is needed? Where have we heard that story before? Have you heard it before? Martha, Martha, you are distracted by so many things that need to be done, but only one thing is needed to prepare the way, and Mary has chosen the better part. It's not that all the rest of the stuff didn't need to be done. It's that Mary was listening and was willing to give all those distractions away, to neglect the things that may have been pressing for the thing that was most important, to let go of the urgent for the important, the one thing that was needed. What did Mary do? What did she do? Was she busy preparing and getting the house exactly right and the food exactly right? What was Mary doing? Somebody who knows, tell me. Sitting at Jesus' feet. What if preparing means that we are called to resist the ways of the world and to do it differently by simply being in relationship with God? And that in that, He prepares the way in us. What if preparing means that we allow Him to transform us so that we are prepared to receive Him? Because when all we are is distracted, getting it right, doing more, then we miss the one thing that is needed. And that is to sit at His feet. To sit at His feet and maybe just to look into His eyes and to say, Lord, I cannot do this life apart from You. In fact, I can do nothing apart from You. You see, this is what John the Baptist is saying about Jesus. He says, there is one coming who is so much more powerful than I am. In fact, I am not worthy so much as to kneel down and to untie the thong of his sandal. He is coming. I baptize you with water, but he is going to baptize you with something else that you don't even know is coming. He will baptize you with fire, with the power of the Spirit of God. There is nothing greater. And yet we are so focused on the urgent that we don't perceive the most important, because our world blinds us with distraction in the cloak of preparation, when the truth is that we are called to be in relationship with God. What if preparation is really about just keeping Jesus company in the Garden of Gethsemane when everybody else is giving in to their human needs of falling asleep? Do you remember that story? He was there with his disciples. They could do nothing to protect him from the crucifixion that was coming. And he knew that, and they should have known that. But instead, they thought they could do something, and if they couldn't do something, then they may as well go to sleep. And Jesus said to them, could you not just stay awake with me and keep me company? As we keep company with Jesus, we are changed by him, and we are prepared to receive the Spirit of God. What does it mean for us to be present to God Almighty? What does that really mean? How can we sit at Jesus' feet and soak in his presence, keep him company, and allow his company to change us? Maybe it looks like the resistance of saying, I don't have to do more. I just have to every day say, Lord, I want to know you, and I want you to know me, and I need you because I can do nothing apart from you. What if preparing the way for Jesus is to look at his face, to look into his eyes, and allow him to help us know that we need to repent? Because, see, repenting is not the same thing as saying, Lord, I confess my sins before you. Repenting means that we look to God and say, I am nothing without you. That is what true repentance is. It is allowing ourselves to be transformed by God by confessing our need for him. It is not going and trying to name all the ways we think we have done wrong, though there may be place for that. But true repentance, the repentance God asks for and yearns for from us, is really just that we admit that we need him, that we are nothing without him. He prepares us by drawing us to repentance, which is what John the Baptist was talking about. John the Baptist said, repent. He will draw you to repentance because his love and his grace is so profound, you've never seen anything like it. The Isaiah passage said, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. The word of our God will stand forever. Our preparations come to nothing if they are not grounded in just simply being in relationship with God. Witnessing to what we know to be true about who he is in our lives. God's steadfast love and faithfulness in the midst of a broken and bleeding world. Even if we don't always feel it. Even if our lives feel broken and bleeding, hoping means that we believe in something that we may not see or even know to be true in the moment, but trusting that it is real beyond ourselves. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs into his arms and carry them to his bosom. Friends, how will you prepare differently this season? What does it mean to look again and to know that preparing may mean not doing more, but instead sitting at Jesus' feet? Repenting in the sense of acknowledging our need for him and allowing his love to change us anew. Our lives are broken. Our world is broken. We know so many people who are facing adversity and darkness this season. We know of the need for a Savior, for the light of the world to break forth. The world is about to turn, friends. The world is about to turn again by the coming of the light in the darkness. And perhaps this season, Jesus is whispering to us, look again. Sit at my feet this season and let me love you even more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.